Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Does your high-performing teenager suddenly exhibit a forbidden behavior? Well, we'll talk about this and much more on this week's podcast. My Eagle Scout son is smoking marijuana. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're answering a question from Nick of Omaha, Nebraska. And Nick writes, our 15-year-old son has always done very well. He's an athlete, he gets good grades, and he's on his way to becoming an Eagle Scout. Our 17-year-old daughter as well has been successful academically. She has many friends, interests, and accomplishments and will be applying to colleges this fall. We've made a lot of sacrifices for an investment in our children. Private schools, coaching programs, tutoring, etc., and they've done very well. We just found out that our daughter has a fake ID, and our son has been smoking marijuana. My wife and I are shocked and hurt. We've completely trusted them, and we consider this a betrayal of that trust. How can kids who have gotten so much and been shown a good way to live be so ungrateful and sneaky? We don't think there is a control battle going on, so how do we account for their behavior, and how should we deal with it? We are stunned and would like some guidance. Okay, well, thanks for your question, Nick. It's an important one, because I've seen a lot of situations, much like the one you're describing, and I'll explain what is most likely going on in your family and how you can best address your crisis of awareness. And notice my phrase, crisis of awareness. Nothing's really changed between when you were unaware of the situation with your kids and then when you became aware of what they are doing. So the crisis you're experiencing is over your awareness of what's going on. So we don't need to react with any urgency here. We can take some time, think things through, and respond in a way that will be helpful to your teenagers. We always want to respond to problem behaviors with the perspective of helping our kids learn and grow. Nick, you and your wife are fabulous parents, and you are a very child-oriented family. In fact, you've designed your life around your kids, and that's terrific. You know, your kids have been doing really well, and you have every reason to believe that they will continue to do well. As parents, you've put a lot of healthy structures in place to support your kids, and clearly they've benefited enormously from those structures. You know, there's good schools, tutoring, sports, scouts, the whole ball of wax. So as parents, you're doing a great job, but that doesn't mean your kids will be or should be perfect kids. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't make mistakes or make choices you don't approve of. The goal is not that they don't sometimes make poor choices. The goal and an important value is that kids, teens, and even into our adult years as adults, learn and grow from choices. That's what we want. So how you handle your new awareness of some of their behavior can support their learning and growing, or it can be a setback for learning and growing, and maybe even confirm a fear of theirs that they can't ever disappoint their parents. What do I mean by that statement? Why do I think they're afraid that they can't ever disappoint their parents. Well, you've raised your kids with an abundance of support, and I'm guessing with an abundance of expressed love and recognition of their successes. So here's these kids. They get virtually everything they need to be happy and successful. Their parents trust them. How do they say no to their parents? How do they fail or screw up? How do they express their individuality or separateness from their parents? How do they differentiate between pleasing their parents and pleasing themselves? I've worked with many young adults in college who have gotten into trouble with alcohol and drug-related behaviors. And many of these young people were never in trouble during their high school years and were very strictly under parental supervision. So then, when they went to college, they weren't used to making their own decisions or having their own boundaries, or as we might call it, self-parenting. So when I work with these young adults, I help them own their choices, be in charge, learn the relationship between the choices they make and the outcomes they get. I help them learn that feeling good about themselves, not their parents feeling good about them, but them feeling good about themselves, feels better than the feeling of any drug. It's better than the feeling any drug will ever give them. Is that feeling like, I like what I'm doing, I'm proud of who I am and what I'm doing. So Nick, your response to your kids needs to be a response that will help them learn and grow. If you take this as a personal betrayal, you'll confirm their fears that they can't ever do anything wrong, and if they do, they will hurt their parents. Yes, they violated your trust, as teenagers will sometimes do. And now you have the opportunity to respond in a way that, number one, helps them know they don't have to be perfect to keep your love and support. And two, helps them learn and grow and prepare for young adulthood and college. Here are some specific ideas for talking with your two teens about what you've learned about their behavior. And you can talk with them either individually or together, depending on whether they're friends and socialize together or have different lives and don't commingle their friends, so that their choices are very individual and not supported by each other. So here's what you can do. Share what you've learned and ask questions about it. But don't ask questions from the point of view of who, what, where, and when, but from the point of view of trying to learn generally about what they're doing and their attitudes and their thinking towards alcohol and marijuana use and their social lives. Do they make a difference between use and abuse? Do they have examples of situations of abuse? And do they have specific plans or ideas for not abusing? Is your daughter aware of the laws and risks of using a false ID? She needs to find out. I wouldn't put it in her face and I wouldn't lecture her, because that's not going to help. But help her investigate and find. She'll find out that penalties can be very severe, including loss of driving privileges, fines. She'd even be exposing herself to a jail sentence, although I'm not sure anyone would jump on, any district attorney would jump on that. But still, it's that exposure that can make a person pretty scared if they end up in trouble. So as we know, the adolescent brain tends to downplay the long-term risks and consequences of short-term decisions. So you want to help your daughter think about what life would be like if she showed her ID and it were confiscated and given to the police, as many drinking establishments are going to do. The last thing I would do, Nick, is tell you or any parent to allow their teenager to drink or use marijuana, even in moderation. Parents can have a no-use policy, but they can't control their teens. And parents need to help them learn to do their own thinking and set their own limits. Okay? So, Nick, talk with your kids, support your kids, find out what they're thinking, be impressed with their answers, and help them make some new choices. So parents, yes, there is the opportunity for trouble around every corner. But the solution to that is not to make sure our teens are scheduled every minute, that they go to the best schools and build resumes showing them to be high achievers with leadership and altruism so that they can go to the best colleges. No, the solution is to help our children and teenagers discover themselves and believe in themselves. We can help them learn to make good personal decisions and learn and grow from their mistakes. And if we do this and we hold faith in them, they'll do just fine. And by the way, you know, I went to the movies this weekend and saw the film Eighth Grade. Elsie Fisher was fabulous as Kayla, the painfully awkward eighth grader. And then her father, who was played by Josh Hamilton, does the amazing job of hanging in there with her through all her moods and rejecting behaviors. So for anyone who wants to remember those painfully awkward years or who is raising a young teen, I recommend it. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, listeners, and special thanks to Nick for bringing us his question. And if you're enjoying the Healthy Family Connections podcast, do me a favor and go to the iTunes site and leave a review. That way you'll help other folks know they can benefit from it as well. And please remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.